All right, thanks.
Take a breath, everybody. You know, we're going in. We do this. We go within. We go within to know ourselves, to know the divinity within each, with ourselves. And so that's the point of it, to get focused, to know our purpose. It's never to get something. Meditation is always for the realization of having something. So take a breath. You can close your eyes. You can keep them open and look at the clouds if you want. But to breathe in gently through the nose and breathe out gently through the mouth. You can listen to the music here. You can listen to the music in the background from Connecticut if you would like. You'll hear Kenneth singing in the background here, but keep breathing. Breathe in, breathe out. Till finally you breathe up. We breathe up, up to the highest spot. And I, as you know, I like to say, at the highest point, I like to affirm the Christ in me is awake now. The Christ in me, awake now. That thrills me, the thought of that. The Christ in me, that which is the highest mind, the Christ, the Son of God, is awake in me now. Not the Jesus awake in me now, but the Christ awake in me now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me, please? The Christ in me is awake now. So think about that. Christ in me awake now. The memory of God awake in me now. The memory of life and life more abundant awake in me now. Joy awakened in me now. Peace, intelligence, power, and presence awake in me now. Life and life more abundantly, abundant, awake in me now. In every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. And so through this Christ awareness, through this memory of God awakened in me now, I am more available for a healing in spirit, a healing in mind, a healing in body, a healing in relationship, a healing in my finances, most of all, a healing in my vision, a healing in the way I see, because it is the way that I see that creates my experiences. The Christ in me, awake now. How thrilling. How very, very thrilling. So, I'm going to take a moment in the silence, more or less. Again, if you hear the music in the background, let it be part of the experience. But let us travel all the way in so that we may go all the way through. Christ in me, awake now. Let's go on in. Christ in me, awake now. Life in me, awake now. And so with that, we have made way for a full healing, a full realization of our oneness, and a full realization of proving God now. So with this information awaken us, we start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary. The sanctuary, this place called Unity, As we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. So it is. Let's welcome Kenneth. Beautiful. Oh, I can't have frozen. Okay, good. For a second, I thought I was frozen. That was splendid. It's one of my favorite songs that Kenneth does. Tim Timmons, I believe is his name, is who wrote that song. I'm going to look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. We all need to understand this is our obligation. This is our obligation in this world to look twice at someone if we need to. Or maybe two, three, under 7 times 70, to keep looking until we recognize the Christ in you. Because what is the Christ? The Christ itself is the Son of God. It is not Jesus. The Christ is not Jesus. While Jesus demonstrated the Christ is not Jesus. The Christ is the actual God connection between that is within man and what connects with God. Is the God self, we'll call it. And so to look at that and say, oh. So I need to see our connection. And the ones I like, the ones I love, and the ones I don't, the ones I'm really afraid of. To look at all those beings and see what it is that we have in common. It's like same with churches. I when I hear about a church, any church, doesn't matter, I look to see what is it we actually have in common, you know, that we can, so I don't reject. I don't want to reject another church. I have difficulties with the way a lot of people practice their spirituality. And the reason I have that difficulty is because they limit themselves. There are so many religions, especially within Christianity, that really limits the love that God is, therefore the love that they are. You know, you cannot be out killing people and say, oh, but I love God, and I just have to get rid of these people because they're sinners, because they're bad. But so you see, if we hate the people who want to kill us, or the, you know, they want to kill off the people who do not agree with them, who do not practice what they practice, then we're no better. We're haters, and I can't afford to be a hater. I called this talk, 'Tis the Reason for the Season. And so 'tis the reason for the season that we use Easter, we use Christmas, we use various religious holidays, Christian holidays in particular, to, although they didn't start out as Christian holidays, you know, Christmas was a pagan thing, and that time of year, and Easter is to represent the in metaphysics, it used to represent the dying out within our consciousness of old, unnecessary, and untrue thoughts, and old unnecessary thoughts, and then resurrect the truth of who we are, the truth of what we are, to look at that and say, oh, this is what I am. See, and when I recognize what I am, then I'm no longer living in hatred. I'm no longer living in fear. I'm no longer living in fear of annihilation. I'm no longer living in fear of who and what is in the street, and I'm no longer living in agitation that the people in the street are not doing things the way I think they ought to do. We all know, most of us know, if you listen to the news at all, there's a lot of fear and confusion going on in the streets of New York. There are five boroughs, and people are being hurt, and people are being killed, and people are being negated for their religion, for their sexuality, for their color, for their very big, sometimes just because they're standing there. And it's the only reason someone would want to hurt another person is because they are so confused about themselves. And that, I think, hurts me more than anything, that someone would be so confused about themselves that they would want to go and hurt you or me or our somebody we love or a stranger in the street, that someone could be so confused. And so that's where we come in. I want to look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. Now, you might not tell someone that, because the word Christ can be a trigger word for some people. The word God can be a trigger word. So many trigger words. But we still, rarely is love a trigger word for someone. So if I have the thought love, as I look around the subway, as I look around the streets, as I look, wherever I look, I'm going to look twice at you till I see the Christ in you. I'm going to look twice. Think that this season has a divine reason. Because here in Unity, Palm Sunday does not mean for us. You know, no, who's carrying around palms today? We're not thinking about Jesus coming into the city on the donkey. Well, at least most of us are not, unless you come from that really, that spiritual background, really Jesus coming into a donkey, because on a donkey to the city, to his death. He was surrendering at that point. He's saying, look at me. I'm here. Here, go for it. Maybe something good will come from it. But to look at that and say, oh, I cannot let this holiday go to waste. These two Sundays, this whole Holy Week, this whole Holy Week is my opportunity to learn more about love. This whole Holy Week isn't to learn more about religion. It's to learn more about love, and love to greater depths. Because imagine loving those, as they say, who persecute you. Imagine loving without a doubt the stranger in the street. I keep using the street because we're out in the street a lot, but to keep using the stranger in our home sometimes, and even the stranger in the mirror, the stranger who looks at you in the morning and you don't know who he or she is. You look at them, you see a face. I look in the mirror, I see a face, but that's not who I am. That is what I'm walking around as on the outside. But even this inside shows me a different face every morning, depending on how prayed up I am, depending upon how much I want to know God today. See, I can't want to know God. I can't plan to know God better, G-O-D. I can't plan to know that better if I'm thinking about hurting someone else, if I'm thinking about hurting myself today, if I'm thinking about hurting you today, if I'm thinking about hurting anyone in politics, anyone in the world. If I'm thinking about hurting someone, I'm also thinking about hurting me. And that's a big drag, isn't it? What was that? I recently heard a minister say, he was talking about someone that Jesus said, and you will do all the things that I do and greater. And his friend said to him, geez, I wish Jesus hadn't said that. Yeah, because it's a part, I'm going to do all that Jesus did and greater. Well, I'm a great admirer of Jesus. I have decided that I'm going to go with that he did walk this earth and that his intentions were constantly good, because his intentions were not to show the divinity in himself, but to point out the divinity in me and to point out the divinity in each being he came upon, that the power of God resides within each and every one of us. That is the point of Jesus, the good news, as it were. The good news is everything you think is good about me is also good about you. And oh my gosh, that is really good news today. Everything good that you think there is about me is also in you, and perhaps more that we haven't yet seen, because sometimes it's just so hard to realize that good, because we look at the world, and we think the world is rather real, as it were, the world is a very real experience, because it's what I'm telling myself about it. However, the world keeps changing because I keep telling myself something different about the world. I keep telling myself that the world is this. And then if I feel differently, I tell myself the world is that. And then it's this. I just keep coming up with new stuff to tell myself about the world. There's a sign on our wall at the church here that says, your joy is chasing you down the street. And I say, let it catch you. And then spread it around. Let joy chase us down the street right now instead of fear. And so as we keep moving forward into realizing, oh, I have Jesus as a way shower. Oh, I know what I was saying before, how religions are all the same. I got to go to Angela's Temple out in Los Angeles, Echo Park. It was Mary. Amy Semple McPherson's church. I don't know if you remember or know who she was. She created the mega church back in the 1920s, and she built a 5,000-seat auditorium out in Los Angeles in Echo Park there, and it's called Angela's Temple. It's the Foursquare Gospel is their movement, as it were, and it's Pentecostal. But David had co-written a show about her on Broadway, and I had been a fan for years. I'd read books about her, but she started that mega church. She had 5 services a day on Sundays alone that were completely jam-packed. She had 27 services a week, 5,000 people each. They wanted it that much. Movie stars Charlie Chaplin gave her sets because she did Hollywood type production on her pulpit. You know, if she was doing Noah's Ark, the animals came down the aisle. And so we went there, and above her pulpit, it said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thought about that because I thought, how are we the same? We seem to practice differently. We do not preach the the gospel, as it were, literally. But is that, how is that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? And then I thought about it, and I thought, metaphysically, we explain Jesus as the man. As the man, Jesus, and then there's Jesus Christ as the awakened man. And Jesus Christ as the awakened man, it doesn't necessarily have to do with Jesus, but Jesus Christ as the awakened man is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I thought, okay, so all of us in our awakened state, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is not going to change. Now, the way we demonstrate that will change. The way we understand that will change. So the truth about Jesus Christ, the awakened man, is the truth. I just froze. There we go. I'm back. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. Truth, capital T truth, as you know, is what does not change. Principle is what does not change. Love itself is what does not change. Intelligence itself is what does not change. What changes is my understanding of it and the way I demonstrate it or the way I manifest it. And so to pay attention to that, so I want the truth, but I'm in evolution, as it were. My consciousness keeps evolving, and I don't want that to get small. And most religionists, they try to keep us a little bit small so we can not grow, quite frankly, so be a little bit more submissive. And it's tough. And see, for what Jesus taught, he was teaching everyone to think for themselves after praying. Pray first, think. Pray first, think. So then we'll be thinking true thoughts as opposed to all over the place thoughts. That's a nicer way to put it. Instead of the all over the place thoughts, we'll be thinking true thoughts. And we want true thoughts about ourselves, about our bodies, about our God. We want true thoughts about our God. We want true thoughts about our money. We want true thoughts about each other. We want true thoughts because that keeps us in a higher nature. And then we're not telling ourselves stories about what's going on. Wouldn't you love a day where you didn't tell yourself one single story about your body? You were just in it, having experience, having feelings, having sensations, but there's no story. Oh, the peace that avails to us when there's no story. When you like a day at your work where there's no story, no matter what anybody's doing, there is no story to it. When you like a day where you look at your money, your bank account, what have you, and there's no story about it, no matter how much you have or don't have. There's no story to it. It's just, this is the money I have today. Now I shall go on about my business. Spirit, tell me what to think about my money so that I don't make up a story. Wouldn't you love a day where there's no story about each other, where we're just here together? And our story is not based on what each other is wearing. It is not based on any fear thoughts I have over what you're saying. It is not based on any story. There's just no story about you. We're just together because I love you. Or we're just together because we're in the same room and I don't know that I love you. But there's no story there based on how you look or how you look at me. And a day of peace, a day of joy, a day where there's no story about even God. There just is God. G-O-D. I can rest assured it loves me, and I don't even know what that means. I can rest assured within it is intelligence, and I have no idea what that means. There's omnipresence, and I know it's presence itself, but I have no idea what it means because I don't have a story about it. You know, but I can rest in it. I can rest in the omnipotence, in the power that we say God is, to rest in that. So you see, this season can be used really well and really practically. I'm going to read a couple of things here from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. I should hold that up a bit longer. Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, A Course in Understanding and Acceptance. So this comes from Romans chapter 5, chapter 6 here. And it says here, Jesus is a symbol of all that is possible with you, because Jesus lived as a symbol of all that is true of you. You are Jesus, and Jesus is you. There is no separation between him and you. You know this if you close your eyes for when you close your eyes, you can find him there. He is a part of you, within you, a being within your soul. Jesus is a part of you, so that all that he accomplished within you. And that which has been accomplished within you has been accomplished by you, so that it may continue to be accomplished until it has been accomplished in full. When I came into Unity, I didn't have much use for Jesus. Jesus had been used inappropriately towards me as a child. And I feared him and I negated him. And then I came into Unity, and my minister then seemed to have a great admiration for Jesus. So I looked into it and I saw that it was practical, because I had admiration for others who had walked this planet. George Washington, I had great admiration for George Washington. I've had great admiration for a lot of beings who are still walking the planet. Why not? If I think Jesus did something really good that showed me a way to love myself, that showed me a way to true forgiveness, to the experience of true forgiveness, because that Jesus did indeed do that. He gave us a pathway to experience true forgiveness, and we would be wise to do our research into that, because that's really what his message comes down to. We have to forgive everything and everyone, all the words, all the trigger words, all that stuff. And that was his path into the heaven consciousness. And then over here in Matthew chapter 8, it says here, Jesus is the symbol for healing. For healing comes from the healed Son of God. The unhealed son cannot heal himself, but he can ask in faith and willingness, and the healed son on behalf of the Father or God, whichever word you prefer there, and then the one who has been healed may be used as a witness. So others will come to know their own desire to be healed. And that to me is what I am. I'm a witness of healing. I have had healings. And so I am a witness, and I can share my experience, strength, and hope on a lot of different type of healings. I've had spiritual healings. I've had emotional healings. I've had physical healings. I've had financial healings. I've had relationship healings. I've had a lot of healings. So to go on here, Jesus is the symbol of the healed Son of God. Now, what is the Son of God? The Christ awakened in me. Jesus did not have the word Christ, but nevertheless, it's Christ. It means the anointed one. It's the one who knows. For the healed son knows what healing is. It is oneness where all are welcomed into the kingdom as one, and there is great joy. From within the seat of the kingdom, the son knows who he is and is not forgotten. But outside of the seat, the son is lost, so he is crying for his home, but knows not where he is. Jesus is the symbol of the one Son of God. For as he is, so you shall know yourself to be. All will be healed within their time. For what is the Son of God with less than every part of his self? Capital S, self. So Jesus does not need to be worshipped. In fact, Jesus discouraged us from worshiping him. He kept pointing the way to God, not to self. And he may have said, follow me. Why not? He found a way in. Forgive everybody. Forgive everything. But it's let him be a symbol. No matter what, the myth works. The myth of Jesus works. So 'tis the reason for the season to learn of our wholeness, to learn of our divinity within. And if you already know it, then take the time to remember it, to practice it, and pass it along by way of your practice rather than your preaching. Pass this along. Practice the good that you know along through your example, through your trusting, through your prospering, through your healing. So let us all go today having a divine healing of spirit, mind, body, and all that goes with the living of life. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
things that